Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in 4 fun colors, stylish spacious Bobopedic sofas, and feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real 5-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's Furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
We're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lowdown Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Lakers insider for Lakers Daily. Today on the show, well, remember all that stuff I was talking about with Gary Trent Jr. and how much I said he would have helped and how he would go a long way in kind of redirecting an otherwise unproductive, as one could argue, counterproductive offseason to this point. And well, about that, today we are going to be talking about Gary Trent Jr. and why he is now a Milwaukee Buck and not a Los Angeles Laker, and why the Lakers have kind of struggled in the free agent market this summer, maybe. In general, we're going to talk a little bit about what this means here for this Lakers offseason and where they kind of go from here. And then we will talk about a couple additions to the Lakers training staff, one being Bob Beyer, who I announced, reported a couple weeks ago. That one has now been confirmed. So big shouts to you guys who believe me on that one. And then they also added Lindsey Harding to the coaching staff, who was the G League Coach of the Year in the Sacramento Kings organization. It's cool. Like, Lindsey Harding is now the second woman ever to be on a Lakers staff. And it's nice to see the Lakers make a little bit of progress there, especially after we criticized them for not even considering a woman as a head coach candidate. So we'll talk about both of those things here in a little bit. And then, as always, if there is some room there at the end for some super comments, then we will answer those as well. Whew, what a day. This, by the way, is going to be a slightly shorter show because I have to go to bed at a relatively decent hour tonight, even though I'm here on the West Coast. We are taking my daughter to Disneyland tomorrow, which is funny given how much I've criticized the concept of Rob being stuck there at Disneyland all this time. Essentially, what I'm going to do is I'm basically going to walk around the Disneyland grounds and see if I can find Rob. Like, let's just see. Maybe that's been the problem this whole time. He's been busy. They redid Splash Mountain. You got to check that out. Sometimes it's difficult to get into the cantina down there in Star Wars World. You know, I'm going to go try to find him. I'm going to try to find him, and I'm going to see. But yeah, that is why today's show is going to be slightly shorter than usual. But let's talk about Gary Trent Jr. and why he isn't a Los Angeles Laker. Sources have told me over the course of this whole thing, a saga, if you will, that the Lakers were in on Trent, have been in on Trent. They had been talking with Trent quite a bit. And they had an offer of the veteran minimum contract to him that would have matched what the Milwaukee Bucks offered him. They technically could have offered more had they opened up that taxpayer mid-level exception. They opted not to do that and held fast at the veteran minimum offer that they made. And the kind of deciding factor here is that in Milwaukee, they promised him a starting gig. And in LA, they did not. They have been reticent to do that this offseason. They didn't do it with Klay Thompson, and they didn't do it here with Gary Trent Jr. And in both cases, that led to those guys choosing different destinations. Klay Thompson went to Dallas, where he will start, and Gary Trent Jr. is now a Milwaukee Buck, where he will start. Especially for Trent, I'm told that was a big factor in his decision, maybe the deciding factor. And it makes sense. He is on a veteran minimum contract. It's difficult as it is to climb out of that price range if that is now where you are considered. And for Trent, it's like, I need the playing time to be able to prove that I am better than merely a vet min type player. I'm curious what fans think about that difference there being between Milwaukee and the Lakers and Dallas and the Lakers, as the Lakers now miss out on two starting caliber shooting guards, because of this approach to free agency. And I'm told that, you know, part of it is that they didn't like how things went. Back when they gave a starting contract or a starting gig, they basically promised that as part of the deal to Dennis Schroeder, and then eventually later that season to Andre Drummond. That kind of messed with the culture of the team, and they didn't like how that went and have been reluctant to do that. And then on top of that, I'm told that part of the factor in not wanting to promise starting gigs is they don't want to hinder what J.J. Redick is going to be able to do. And if you promise a bunch of starting gigs, that kind of cuts the legs out from under your rookie coach. So that's kind of what they're thinking on it, according to sources close to the situation. And we'll kind of see how those things play out and whether those are the right stances to take. Only time will kind of tell. But I don't know. Like, I look, I'm the same person that criticized them for giving those starting gigs in the first place to those guys. I thought it was wrong that Schroeder, coming off of, even if it was a good season four OKC, part of the reason it was so good and was, I think, one of the more productive seasons in Schroeder's career is because he came off of the bench and it allowed him to play a certain way. And, you know, when he basically demanded to start with the Lakers, I would have probably passed on employing Dennis Schroeder because the Lakers at that time had Alex Caruso, who had just started in a finals game, in a finals deciding game, only a short time before that. So I don't know. It would be somewhat hypocritical of me to just criticize this outright, but I do think that sometimes the situation should be factored in, right? Like that team that Schroeder stepped onto had just won a championship. You had Caruso playing some great ball, and he fit perfectly with LeBron and with AD at the time. That was also a team that had, you know, it was a culture of competition, was what Rob Pelinka liked to refer to back at that time. And then all of a sudden you promise a starting gig to somebody who was coming off of, you know, a much worse team than you in the Oklahoma City Thunder. And it, I didn't think, sent the best message to the rest of that team. And we saw how that all played out. That was a team that had more talent, though, than this one. It was a team that had a built-in culture already. And you know, maybe you're thinking that maybe it chips away a little bit at the culture, but, you know, you can see how it goes. This team doesn't have the culture, so I guess if you want to really identify that as a big part of what you're building here moving forward, okay, that is something to keep in mind. But this team also desperately needs talent. Like, this team is now worse. It is going to be worse going into this upcoming season than last year's team. It is objectively true. Like, say what you want about Torian Prince and the role that he played in last year. It was a astonishing role for somebody of his ilk last year. But when he played in a role that made a lot more sense, then the team wound up looking a lot better, and Torian Prince looked a lot better. He was, honestly, he played above his contract value last year, and he signed in Milwaukee, ironically, for the veteran minimum, where he's probably going to play well above that contract this upcoming year. And you know, for him, you know, he got sick of waiting for the Lakers to either acquire one of Brooklyn's wings or acquire one of Portland's wings or whatever, and he just winds up signing for the minimum in Brooklyn. And this is now another, by the way, impactful player who went and signed elsewhere for the minimum because they weren't maybe thrilled about how things went while they were Lakers. Lonnie Walker also went to the Brooklyn Nets after the Lakers did not want to, you know, pay him as much as maybe he thought, and maybe he got frustrated over the role there, whatever. You know, the Lakers just keep letting talent walk out the door at a time where they need talent. And then in this case, they had an opportunity to replace that talent with Gary Trent Jr. and, you know, played hardball as far as the role went and as far as the number goes, and wind up missing out on him. While I say all of that about the starting role that the Lakers wouldn't promise, what the Lakers could have done then is make up for what they're giving up there, or what they aren't willing to do on in that regard in negotiations, with a little bit of extra cash. Had the Lakers just traded Cam Reddish and Jackson Hayes or Christian Wood and opened up that taxpayer mid-level exception, now you're offering $5.2 million to Gary Trent Jr. instead of the, you know, veteran minimum that he winds up signing. And, you know, if you do that, it gives him a little bit better path. Now that he isn't a minimum contract there, you can maybe convince his agency, which is Clutch, that maybe, you know, sure, we won't promise him the starting gig, but that doesn't mean he isn't going to start. And here's a little extra cash for merely having to prove that you should start next year. And if you do that and you negotiate in that way, then maybe those talks go a little bit better than they went. Obviously, they could have gone better, seeing as Gary Trent Jr. again is a Milwaukee Buck and not a Los Angeles Laker. And the other thing, too, is that like it would have behooved them to get off of Cam Reddish's deal, to get off of Christian Wood's deal, or to get off of Jackson Hayes's deal, because then you could go back into the veteran minimum contract market and maybe find an upgrade at a different position as well. So now what the Lakers essentially have to do to make up for this offseason and this upcoming season is they have to trade D'Angelo Russell, because we know he can't be on the roster if this team has any interest in doing anything in the playoffs. It'll be difficult to do that because everybody is going to know that they need or want to do that. They'll also need to make good on these minimum contract guys, because after December 15th, you'll be able to stack them to be able to go out and get somebody else. And, if you do turn Hayes and Wood and Reddish and some draft capital into an impact player in that 9 to 11 or $12 million range, then it makes up for not being able to turn those guys into, say, Gary Trent Jr. during the summer. We'll see what that market kind of looks like. But, you know, again, this is just another example of the Lakers just kind of ignoring the margins and not doing anything simply because they weren't able to do anything with at the top of the roster with their, contract and draft assets. And I don't know, man, I find it really difficult to respect an organization or a front office that continually ignores margins.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Let's put it this way. This idea, and I said it yesterday and I'm going to keep saying it because it bears repeating. But the Lakers right now on their roster, you look at the back end of the roster, and I know people are going to say like, well, this is how most back ends of the roster look. No, they aren't normally this bad, because this is really, really bad. Jalen Huccefino was on an NBA contract and is seen as contractually an NBA player. He's at the back end of this deal. He isn't currently an NBA player, and they won't play him in the summer league because they're afraid that everybody's going to find out once again that he isn't an NBA player. You could say he's rehabbing. He's practicing with the team. Like this idea that like he's going through practices and like, stop, like nobody believes this. So you have Jalen Hood-Schifino. You have Maxwell Lewis, who also not an NBA player right now. He's another guy who is a year away from being a year away in an organization that doesn't know how to develop guys. So there's two roster spots in a 15-man roster that are dedicated or taken up by non-NBA players. You have Bronny James, who, again, like we're allowed to say this. I agree with Jaylen Brown. He's not a pro right now. He's not an NBA player right now. He is contractually, however, he takes up a roster spot. And that means you have three guys at the end of the roster who are not currently NBA players and probably will not help you this season. Then you go another spot up. You have Cam Reddish, who is fighting for his NBA life. And, you know, at times last year, played decent enough defense that Darvin Ham considered him a must play type of player over the course of the year, which was a mistake. And it was a mistake because he's barely an NBA player. So there's four roster spots that are dedicated to either not, definitely not NBA players or borderline NBA players. And then from there, you also have like Jackson Hayes, who like looks good some nights, but then looks really, really bad other nights. You have Christian Wood, who is fighting for his NBA life. And that's six guys that are all like not NBA players. Those are the margins. And the Lakers had an opportunity to turn at least a couple or a few of those guys into Gary Trent Jr., who is a starting caliber. He's probably a low-end starting caliber, but he's a starting caliber shooting guard in the NBA. I think the stat that I saw today was that he's one of like four players to have 300 steals and 300 threes in the last few years. That's pretty damn elite. Those are important skill sets. And by the way, skill sets that the Lakers need. And you're buying low on a 25-year-old shooting guard who is definitely talented enough to impact basketball. He's just been stuck in Toronto while Masai Ujiri has been twiddling his thumbs in the way that we criticized Rob Pelinka for. So, like, and like, if you move a couple of those guys, you get Gary Trent Jr. because you could sign him at the mid-level exception, and that makes up for not giving him the starting gig. Or if you move a couple of those guys, it hurts that much less to have Bronny James on your NBA roster while he isn't currently an NBA player. So like you keep on screwing up all of these margins. And this is the thing that like I talked to several agents over the course of this last weekend, some of whom either represent currently or represent former Lakers, right? And their frustration with the way that the Lakers do things is there's just no creativity. If there isn't like a straight line path to what the Lakers are looking to do, they just do not do it. They ignore it altogether, whether it's because of understanding of the CBA, whether it's because of reluctance to pull the trigger on stuff because of the way that they were bit by the Russell Westbrook thing. Like whatever reason you want to find, the Lakers always find themselves paralyzed by what they're analyzing. And it's just tough to watch. It's tough to watch as they are getting lapped by their competition. And it's tough to watch as you know that the people who were being lapped by their competition are never going to face any accountability because he was Kobe's agent. It's like these things are crazy to say out loud. It's insane to me that I have to say out loud when people ask me, well, shoot, like if he isn't good at his job, when are they going to like realize it? When are they going to actually like hold him accountable for not being good at his job? It's a great question, man. That's a great question that I don't have an answer for, because the answer is he probably won't, because he's seen as an extension of Kobe in an organization that just absolutely fears moving on from Kobe Bryant. Like, I look, everybody, we all were devastated when Kobe passed away. All of us. That was a terrible, terrible day in Lakers history. I will never forget calling Pete and asking him, hey, man, because at the time he and I were doing Locked On Lakers together. And I told him, I was like, hey, man, like it or not, we are an important voice to a fan base that is in mourning right now. What do you think about doing a show? And he said he wasn't able to do it. He was that distraught over Kobe passing away. And I'm not judging him. I'm not judging anybody for how they mourn. And I said, nope, no worries, man. Like, we'll talk after. We'll reminisce together after. Let me handle this show. And I felt that our listener base at that time needed to hear from us on that day, because I think of mourning as a collective exercise. And I'll never, ever forget it. And, you know, it's left this gap in our hearts that probably will never be filled, to be completely honest, especially given the way that he passed. And hell, like, his career itself was this spectacular, smoldering, you know, fireball that soared through the heavens. It was just like, it was this incredible thing to watch. And he means something to the Laker fan base that very, very few, if any, athletes in the history of sports really meant that to their respective fan bases. So I completely understand. And by the way, you know, as a human being and somebody who meant a lot to Jeannie Buss and meant a lot to people up and down those hallways, I also understand that that is a difficult thing for anybody to move on from. But at some point, though, like, if his memory is why you're continuing to employ this guy who is clearly unfit for this position, not capable at this position, then you're doing a disservice to Kobe's memory. Because he'd be sitting here, if he were a player, saying, like, we didn't do anything? Last deadline, nothing? Like, if he were playing at the level that LeBron is playing at and the Lakers weren't doing anything for him, you bet your ass Kobe would be like, nothing? I'm holding up my end of the bargain. Where are y'all at? And then to, you know, go through that at the deadline and then see it happen and take place all over again here in this offseason, he'd be saying the same thing. Nothing? Wait, we actually got worse? Because they did. Like, again, Torian Prince was a fine role player last year. They let him walk for nothing. And they're hoping that Max Christie is able to step into those shoes. Maybe. But based on the Lakers' ability to develop guys to this time, to this point, I'm a little nervous. They're hoping that Dalton Kinect can step into that role or to part of that role. Maybe. You seen him on defense? Torian played okay defense last year when he was, like, given a realistic expectation on defense. Like, the Lakers lost that guy who was a role player on a team that made the playoffs, didn't replace him, and now we're probably going to head into this next season with the same roster minus that guy. And again, I know he was a joke, but, like, you know, he became a joke. But that's all because of the coach. And people are saying, like, well, JJ is gonna be better than Darvin Ham. Maybe, but he's never coached before. Can you say that? Like, can you say that with real confidence? And if you're gonna say that, is it just completely because Darvin was that bad? Okay, I guess I'm where with you. Maybe, hopefully. And this, like, coaching staff that's like awe-inspiring to you? That inspires confidence in you? Because it doesn't to me. They're on how many different assistant coaches did they go through before they arrived at Scott Brooks and Nate McMillan? How many assistant coaches did they go through before they arrived at the other coaches that they hired since? It's not that great of a coaching staff. And then on top of it, they still don't have a head of player development. Maybe that's Lindsey Harding. I don't know. But that they still don't. That's supposedly their focus. That still hasn't taken place. I guess we have to wait and see how good that app is as they gamify roster development or player development. But it could also just be a whole bunch of jargon that Rob Pelinka heard once upon a time and is hoping to be able to execute. But like if there's one thing we've heard about or we've seen from Rob Pelinka, it's its inability to execute anything. So where do we stand? What's the deal? What comes next? I don't fucking know. I'm going to Disneyland. Speaking of that coaching staff, we got a report today. The big news, you know, that came from Adrian Wojnarowski is that, you know, the Lakers hired Lindsey Harding, who was the G League Coach of the Year and is like this up and comer in the coaching ranks. And, you know, also needs, you know, pointing out, it's great to see the Lakers employ a female coach. I think that's great. And I'm excited to see what she offers to a coaching staff that like needs people who offer stuff to the coaching staff. The other guy that I think went a little under the radar today because of Harding's hiring was Bob Beyer. And I'm kind of saying it out loud. Solid trick there from Woj to highlight Harding over here. We'll just like slip Beyer over there, who's been done now for weeks. Beyer, as I said before, was an assistant coach in Orlando when JJ Redick was there, and then was an assistant coach in New Orleans when JJ played there as well. And he is somebody who JJ picked out specifically. I'm told Harding also is a JJ Redick hiring. They were friends, like legit friends at Duke and all of that stuff as well. So as things kind of stand, you know, Scott Brooks, Nate McMillan, those were Kurt Rambis hires. Greg St. Jean, also a Kurt Rambis hire. Bob Beyer and Lindsey Harding, more JJ Redick hires. And then, you know, so on and so forth from there. So we'll see what they're able to do. They're going to have their work cut out for them because they are going to be coaching again, a roster that is, that we knew was insufficient heading into the summer and, you know, is still insufficient going into next year.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Let's go with, oh, look, it's nice to see Rob Pelinka in the chat. He says, you guys don't need any trades. Stop being ungrateful. Cool. So the first one here, we got a super comment, which means I get to do this. Fuck watching! That super comment comes from Justin Tindall, who writes, "I will always love this franchise, but I've never felt more embarrassed by Jeannie and Rob. They may as well be Jeff Bridges and Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber." I don't think that was Jeff Bridges. That was Jeff Daniels, which is funny. It is a funny. I hope that that was on purpose, because that would be actually funny if that was a done on purpose to make fun of how dumb the Lakers have been. Embarrassed by the Lakers. Well, here's the thing. Here's where I think I stand as a fan. If I was just to take a step back and just be a fan here and try to kind of sum up the Jeannie and Rob experience, and it's, you know, again, it goes back to like the complete lack of productivity on the margins, and how the Lakers have essentially just ignored that aspect of all of this, where they hired Magic Johnson and they hired Rob Pelinka, and those were, you know, Jeannie Buss's first two moves. Before she called Rob Pelinka, she called Kobe Bryant, and he would have been essentially in Rob's place in some fashion. And Kobe told her that he didn't think that was a good idea. He didn't have the bandwidth to be great in that position, in the way that at the standard that he held himself to. And he said, "But here's Rob. I trusted this guy with my career, and he's a very close friend, and blah, and you have a relationship with him too. Try him out." And the idea there was going to be that Magic Johnson would take care of like the macro things, right? Pitching to LeBron James and pitching to superstars and all of those, that stuff. He handled the Anthony Davis negotiations while the Lakers were negotiating to trade for Anthony Davis pretty spectacularly poorly, I should point out. But still, that was what Magic was kind of tasked with. And then Rob Pelinka was going to handle more of like the day-to-day and the minutia that can kind of fall through the tracks when you have somebody who's more focused on the macro stuff. And then, like I said, or like as we all know, right, Magic Johnson felt betrayed by people in the organization, essentially said that Rob Pelinka would, you know, stabbed him in the back and exited the franchise in pretty embarrassing fashion. And you know, at the very least, what Jeannie should have done there was, okay, Rob gets elevated to Magic's job. Let's bring in somebody to replace Rob and handle the day-to-day, the minutia that you need handled in you know, any front office. And that was literally her ignoring the margins, because the margins were supposed to be where Rob functioned. And then when he wasn't there to manage those margins, because he was focused on more macro stuff, that's how you've seen so many things fall through the cracks ever since. And that has basically set a repeating, I don't know, set of circumstances that we just keep on seeing over and over and over again. So long as Jeannie continues to refuse, or Rob continues to refuse to want somebody else in that GM spot. And, you know, there just aren't, there are no other vice presidents of basketball operations and GMs in the NBA. And the idea that the Lakers are just going to make that work because they're the Lakers, like, we've seen what that looks like. And, you know, how things have played out on the roster makes a whole bunch of sense, right? It's pretty consistent with that approach where, all right, we got the two big guys. We got Anthony Davis, we got LeBron James, and they're going to carry us. And it's like, wait, we have to have three other people on the court with them? Wait, like at all times? How do people do this? And then it's like, wait, we have to have guys play, like we need more than three other guys to play? Wow, this is crazy. And so you get the big superstar talent up at the top of the roster, but in those margins, you've seen guys either get over evaluated in the case of Talen Horton Tucker, or maybe also potentially in Max Christie, because I was asking around and nobody else was offering Max Christie anywhere near the $8 million per year that the Lakers gave him. They completely overpaid him. Or they undervalued guys, right? Alex Caruso walks for nothing. Torian Prince walks for nothing. Lonnie Walker walks for nothing. And Brook Lopez walks for nothing and was so angry at the way things went out. By the time that summer rolled around, he was making it known behind closed doors. Fuck those people. He hated Luke Walton, did not like how that went, and wasn't impressed by the way the Lakers were run, and has since won a championship in Milwaukee as the perfect type of center that the Lakers have been missing ever since. And you just when you continue to ignore the margins in the way that the Lakers do, it puts all the more pressure on you to execute the bigger deals. And if you also can't do that, that's where I continue to ask, Rob, what is it exactly that you do here? We're all hoping to find out one day. The next question here comes from Vinny Jaj, who writes, do you think the Lakers can make a move in the coming weeks or after Summer League? Personally, let's make him president and hire Bob Myers. Anything the Lakers can the Lakers maybe get Lonnie or something? They can, those things can be done. It's a matter of will they? And essentially, the way that I've had it phrased to me a few times over is that this appears to probably be the roster heading into next year. And the Lakers are hoping that, in time, people will kind of forget the disappointment from this offseason, talk themselves to this roster all over again, and let him off the hook for not being able to do anything for two transaction windows here. And I've already started to see it, right? I've already started to see in my mentions and in the comments here, well, what if Gabe Vincent is healthy this year? They didn't get anything from him last year. Ooh, what if they get something from Jared Vanderbilt this year? What if maybe he'll even get better on offense too? And if you get anything from those guys, that's essentially like offseason acquisitions, right? Because you didn't get anything from him last year. Ooh, and then what if JJ Redick just plays his best players from the beginning of the season? And maybe, just maybe, that'll be how this team gets better. Maybe. But if you're gambling that all of those things have to go right for the Lakers to get better compared to last year, and by the way, all of those things would have to go spectacularly right. That was a Freudian slip. I was thinking about the Lakers front office. They would have to go spectacularly right, in order for the Lakers to get to improve enough to actually get better in the grand scheme of the Western Conference and in the grand scheme of the league. All of those, if any of those things don't quite pan out, the Lakers are screwed. there are no options. There are no other options right now, given their stances on the way that they've held these negotiations to fix those things. And by the way, if any of those things go wrong, that means the Lakers have that much less leverage when it comes time to have those negotiations to maybe trade D'Angelo Russell, to maybe trade those stacked veteran minimum contracts, to trade maybe Jared Vanderbilt or whomever. If anything goes wrong and the Lakers now are even more desperate than they were this offseason, those teams are going to take advantage of it and those prices are going to go up. This is just basic market math. And I feel like a crazy person because the team that I analyze and frankly the team that I've always loved doesn't seem to get it. All right. Laker Sean writes, and we have a couple more of these. So Laker Sean replies, reports the Lakers' patience means Rob is kicking the can down the road to the trade deadline, slow start, overworked LeBron, and no leverage at the deadline. Exactly. That's exactly the point that I just made. If you kick the can down the road, you'd better be in a pretty good position to take advantage of that can when it comes time to actually do something with it. And, that's been the problem that the Lakers keep on having, is that Rob keeps kicking that can down the road. And then when they approach the can, he freaks out again and they aren't able to do anything. And you wind up just kicking the can again. Or in our case, we get sold and we get promised all of these things as a fan base. It's like, oh, just you wait. You have three picks. You got, you know, young talent. You got expiring contracts. Like, just wait till we see what we're able to do in this upcoming summer. At the end of the summer, well, just wait. Gabe Vincent, remember him? I do. I really do. And there were concerns about him even before he wasn't able to play because of a bruise. I remember. All right, last comment here comes from Arthur Johnson, who writes, what about Lonnie Walker IV? He was a third scoring option during his tenure and never got a fair shake. I don't know how interested he is in going back to the Lakers. Now, he's probably a little bit more desperate because he's eyeing the possibility of potentially not being in the league next year. But he's somebody who, like, had the Lakers moved a couple of their veteran minimum players. Maybe you also bring in Lonnie Walker. The problem is they are pretty set at his position to where, like, he isn't better than Austin Reaves. He isn't better than D'Angelo Russell. He's probably not better than Gabe Vincent. I will see if he's better. You know, we'll see if Max Christie is better than he is. But, like, at that spot, you know, I just don't really see the ad there for Lonnie Walker. And then from his perspective too, why go back to an organization that you know, let you walk in the first place? And why go back there to a situation where you aren't sure where your minutes are going to come from while you fight to remain in the league? So from both sides there, I don't necessarily see it. But I'll ask around, Arthur, to see if there's any interest one way or the other. And on that note, I'm going to go ahead and end this one here. So thank you, everybody. Oh, nope, I'm not going to end it here. We got one more super comment. Justin Tindall writes, genius worse than Rob for me. She's the boss, yet Pelinka operates with zero urgency, shows she's never given him the riot act. I mean, yeah, like at some point, everything that happens, you know, just like the cliche is shit rolls downhill. Well, accountability floats uphill. Accountability goes that other direction where everything that happens is in its own way a reflection on leadership. And in this case, the leader of the organization is Jeannie Buss, and she doesn't seem to understand what needs to be done or how to do it. And the longer that this continues, where the Lakers just keep spinning their tires in the mud, waiting for Rob Pelinka to figure this stuff out. What's crazy is that, like, they were not this bad at stuff before. Like, they've gotten actively and tangibly worse over the last few years. You know, they made the Russell Westbrook trade, and now they're afraid to do anything that, you know, might put them in a negative light potentially. It's crazy to watch them completely unravel after winning a championship. They won a championship, and like every step that they've taken is like this crazy step backwards. Or if they do take a step forward and win a couple rounds in the playoffs, they don't seem to understand what made that run special either. I used to have this saying when I used to coach, and especially when I was an assistant coach on the varsity team that I worked on coming out of high school. And I always used to tell the kids there, build on success, handle success, right? Have an understanding of how to replicate that success and to get better. Like everybody always says, you know, you learn the most from losses, right? Darvin Ham used to say, you know, it's nothing but wisdom and lessons, right? And that's fine. It's fine to say, but what marks greatness is an ability to learn despite success. Because when you're succeeding, it's super easy to basically just sit there and say, things are going fine. We don't need to improve anything. Things are working. And it's like, yeah, but your competition is still getting better. And eventually that competition is going to catch up to you. And the problem that the Lakers have had is that, like, their competition, what, you know, after they won the championship, past them and is now lapping them. And they're sitting here still holding on to that 2020 championship as if it makes all of this okay. And it doesn't. Like, not when you're the Lakers. It would if you're the Memphis Grizzlies. It would if you're the Washington Wizards. It would if you're the Denver Nuggets. But even their fan base is kind of like, man, we tasted greatness and our team has gotten worse every step along the way since. Are we sure this is working out? And that's the Denver Nuggets. Adam is one of my closest friends in this industry. And he would always say he never envisioned a world in which the Nuggets would win a championship. That's a little like concerning that even that fan base is willing to hold them accountable. I think I froze and I'm nervous that I froze. Apologies. I don't know what happened there. And I'm going to go ahead and take that as reason to go ahead and end this thing here pretty soon. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like I really wish that like we could believe more in this organization, and until they show us that we can, like I see people in the comments, stop buying tickets, stop supporting them and all that stuff. And that's really kind of your only option. It gets to a point eventually where it's like, until you show us that you're serious, we're going to have to rethink this relationship. what that means is different from fan to fan. I'll still be here. We'll all still be here in the lounge, getting through it together. And you know, that's the point of collect. This is going great. Thank you, Molly. Have a good one. Good Lord.
Millions of Americans are looking for effective ways to manage their weight, but finding the right support can feel confusing and time-consuming. Orderly Meds offers a convenient online experience that connects you with licensed medical providers to explore GLP-1 treatment options from home. The process is simple. Complete your information online, connect with a provider, and learn what options may be right for you. No waiting rooms, no complicated scheduling, just a modern, streamlined experience designed around convenience. Visit orderlymeds.com/podcasts to learn more today. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. One more time, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.